producing her document. "Queen Harmony?" the man asked. He paused. "Let me see." Violet approached with the letter. The man took it and looked it over. The woman slid aside her veil and leaned in close. A thin chain curved from one nostril to her earlobe. The woman whispered to the man. He whispered back, then faced Violet. "My associate will take your document inside. Please back away toward the door." Violet returned to stand by Cole. "No hasty movements," the man said. "We're both ready to die and ready to kill you." A wayport opened up, shining more brightly than any of the wayports Violet had opened. The woman stepped through, carrying the letter. The wayport closed behind her.
"Mind if I get a drink?" Chase asked. "The sound is making me so thirsty."
"Help yourself," the man said. "Use the ladle."
Chase went to the fountain and ladled water into an ornate bowl. He took a sip. Violet and Twitch joined him.
"Where does the water come from?" Mira asked.
"We keep a tiny wayport open to a distant lake," the man said.
"Is that how you keep the air cool?" Cole wondered.
"Two other small wayports to a pair of chilly locations," the man said.
"You have a conduit to the Iron Fort?"
Violet wondered as she sipped water.
"As you might imagine," the man said.
"A conduit is like a permanent wayport," Violet explained. "Think of it like an established tunnel versus a temporary passage. The conduit must be the only practical way through the defenses."
"We can collapse it at any time," the man said.
The bright wayport reappeared, and the woman emerged. The wayport remained open.
"The host wishes to meet them," the woman reported.
"You're not serious," the man said.
"That was an authentic request from Queen Harmony," the woman said. "Urgent undertones. The host wants to know more."
"All of them?" the man replied.
"The host is intrigued," the woman said.
The man shrugged. "Not my call." He waved at the wayport. "Go with Rennie."
Violet entered first, then Mira, and then Cole. He emerged inside a spacious cage standing on light gray sand. After the cool of the tent, the heat was instantly uncomfortable. Beyond the bars of the cage loomed a gigantic wall of solid iron. Endless sharp-edged dunes extended in all other directions. Jace came through the wayport, followed by Twitch, and finally the woman. The wayport closed.
"Rennie, reporting with the visitors,"
the woman called out. A new bright wayport opened up.
"One at a time,"
Rennie said. Violet stepped through. Twitch sidled up next to Cole, his eyes on the bars of the cage.
"If they didn't like who came through, you'd be in trouble."
Cole nodded. "You'd be an easy target with nowhere to run."
"Proceed,"
Rennie said. The others had gone through already. Cole passed through the wayport after Twitch had found himself in a windowless iron room lit by torches. Two armored guards faced him. Rennie came through and the wayport closed.
"Leave all weapons here," one guard said. "They will be returned when you exit."
Cole unbuckled his jumping sword. Mira gave up her jumping sword as well. Twitch turned in his short sword. Violet handed over a small knife, more a tool than a weapon. Jace made no move to surrender his rope. The guards gave them all a pat-down. Cole avoided staring at Jace, in fear of making the guards suspicious. His golden rope was currently a small golden strand. It shouldn't even be able to work here. If the guards didn't know about Cole's power, there would be no reason to worry about the rope, even if they could tell it had been expertly shaped. They all passed inspection, and another bright wayport opened. One by one they went through. Cole hung back until his friends had gone, then stepped through into a fancy office, where a gaunt man with a widow's peak sat behind an iron desk, large hands with long fingers laced in front of him on top of the document from the queen. Rennie followed and closed the wayport.
"Queen Harmony endorses your visit," the gaunt man said briskly. "I am the host at this retreat. My primary job is protecting our clients. Explain who you wish to see."
"My sister Elegance," Mira said.
"Ah!"
the host said, leaning back in his chair. You are one of the sisters.
Miracle Pemberton, she said.
You could have all taken refuge here, the host said. It would have been sensible.
The idea was to spread us out, Mira said, one in each kingdom. I need to see elegance.
So I have gathered, the host said. He attempted a smile. It did not appear natural. I have never been approached by a group composed entirely of children. Even the Wayminder is young. Was this supposed to appeal to my sentiment?
We're on a mission, Cole said. The host leaned forward, hands still clasped.
Such unlikely agents. Can it be as urgent as the Queen insinuates?
It's vital, Mira said.
You five were entrusted with a matter of supreme importance, the host asked. Is there more to you than greets the eye? What would you do if I attempted to hold you here?
Seriously? Jace asked.
Seriously, the host said, his smile looking more natural and a lot less friendly. Jace held out his strand. Cole touched it and pushed power into it. The golden rope shot out and snaked around the host's neck, jerking him to his feet. Cole grabbed Violet and she opened a wayport. Rennie produced a knife, and the other end of the golden rope bound her hands and thrust her back against the wall. Still smiling, the host gave a chuckle. Better than expected. I asked for this. Message received. Please release me.
The rope went slack and retracted. The host rubbed his neck.
I'm so sorry, Rennie said. No apology required, the host replied. Would you release her as well? Stand down, Rennie.
The rope unwound from her arms and shrank into a small golden strand.
You opened a wayport so quickly, the host asked. Where could it have led?
A lower level here in the fort, Violet said. I couldn't feel a way out.
Thankfully, the host said, or else we would have needed to reconstruct our entire defensive scheme. You reached our arrival station by wayport only minutes ago.
Yes, Violet said.
What an unbelievably quick recovery from your previous efforts, the host said.
Rennie sank to her knees, head bowed.
I am ashamed. I do not know how.
The host held up a hand and interrupted.
No apology required. I still don't understand how they did it. You, boy. Your name?
Cole.
Cole, I am perplexed. Your power appears whole and untainted. Are you a shapecrafter? To my knowledge, only they can so flagrantly flout the natural order of shaping.
No, but my power is unusual. The host gave a shark-like smile.
That puts it lightly. I don't suppose you are for hire.
We really are on an urgent mission, Cole said.
I believe you, the host said. I have a keen interest in world events. Intelligence supports effective security. Your secrets are safe here. Discretion is my specialty. Tell me the urgent matter, and I will grant the access you seek.
Cole found all of his friends looking at him. He saw no big reason to keep Romaro a secret. The more who prepared to meet him, the better. A Torivor is about to break free in Creon.
There is no Torivor in Creon, the host said.
Cole held up a finger. There was no Torivor in Creon. A Torivor named Romaro recently escaped the Echolands and was imprisoned here. The prison will not hold him long. In the Echolands he went by Nazim.
Fascinating, the host said slowly. I have heard of this Nazim. I gather information from all quarters. The name has been repeated in the Echolands of late. It never occurred to me the name could belong to Romaro. These are dire tidings.
You mentioned shapecraft, Cole said. The shapecrafters are our enemies. Romaro taught them, starting with Owendell.
All these pieces fit, the host said. This is the best intelligence I have heard in years. It demands my immediate attention. I not only grant you the access you seek, but I wish you well in your mission, and offer permission to return here if you have information to share or desire employment. He glanced at Rennie. That is all. A new wayport appeared. Violet let hers close. Chapter 13. Elegance. In a quiet courtyard within the fort, flagstone paths meandered between lawns, flower beds, and shrubs. Led by Rennie, Cole and his friends found Elegance near a still pond, shaded by numerous trees with sprawling limbs. Cole had previously seen Elegance in a simulated reality created by the Torvor Trillion, but he was struck by her beauty as never before. Maybe it was her current hairstyle, or her flattering dress, or a knowing quality in her soulful eyes, but the sight of her made him secretly thrilled and a little shy. Elegance had stopped aging around her 18th birthday, and she appeared fully grown. Tall and graceful of all the princesses, she bore the clearest resemblance to Harmony. Beside her sat an old man in a wheelchair, made mostly of dark, polished wood. A blanket lay folded across his lap. What wispy white hair remained was neatly combed. Liver spots showed through on his partially bald scalp. Elegance glided forward to greet her sister.
Miracle, I am so relieved to find you well.
Cole didn't think her tone or manner seemed relieved. At best, she seemed polite.
Hi, Ella, Mira said.
Elegance, dear, among company, Elegance said. Mira rolled her eyes.
These are my friends, not company, and we're in a hideout, not our castle.
Elegance raised a chiding finger.
I know these are friends, otherwise I wouldn't publicly correct you. When have you ever resisted a chance to correct anyone?
Mira asked. The old man in the wheelchair chuckled. Elegance shot him a glance.
Living among the barbarians need not mean living like the barbarians. Social graces matter. We can languish in exile and still live like royalty. Until you're being chased by enforcers, Mira said. I've run from my share of enforcers, Elegance assured her, and I still behave as my station demands.
That you have, said the old man in the wheelchair, gazing at her lovingly, and that you do.
This is Brogan Holt, Elegance said, my protector ever since I went into hiding.
I remember Brogan, Mira said. I can't believe Mother paired him with you.
I recall you too, Mira, Brogan said, his voice a bit frail. You haven't changed at all, just like your sister. I've looked better.
He's also my husband, Elegance said, a touch of defiance in her tone.
Really? Mira asked. Mother is going to faint.
Mother knows, Elegance asked. Do you think I'd make a move like that, unsanctioned?
We were wed 12 years after going into hiding, Brogan said.
You were 30, Elegance replied. Aging while I didn't. We started out the same age. I turned 18 the week we went into exile.
Wait, Jay said. You were put in charge of her when you were 18?
The old man smiled.
We had no idea how young we were.
Cole couldn't help thinking the relationship was fairly strange. Elegance seemed much too youthful to have such an elderly husband. But Cole supposed it made sense, since they'd started out the same age, and because, unlike her younger sisters, Elegance was mostly grown up when she stopped aging. Even with excuses in mind, witnessing the extreme age gap between the couple was still a little unsettling.
The name Brogan Holt would be known across the Five Kingdoms had he not become my protector, Elegance said. He is, without question,
the finest swordsman of his generation. He won the Harvest Tournament at 16 and 17, the youngest to ever win it by 5 years. And by 18, he was in exile, Cole said. Only one other knight ever won in back-to-back years, Elegant said, looking at the old man warmly. Only two other knights won 3 times in their lifetimes. None won 4. Brogan might have won it 10 times. He only got better.
Isn't 16 young to enter the Harvest Tournament? Twitch asked.
Brogan gave a chuckle.
Unusually young, yes, Elegant said.
Each noble family in the kingdoms has an annual right to one entrant. Each puts forth their best champion, a seasoned knight from the household or an expert member of the family. Brogan's father was a lesser lord of the sort whose champions tend to get knocked out in the early rounds. Brogan showed great promise, and without more impressive options, he got the nomination and won the most stunning string of upsets in memory. Contender after contender fell to him. Then the next year, with every competitor preparing specifically for him, he won again. He made it look easier the second time.
It was easier, Brogan said from his chair. I had grown some.
My father added him to his personal guard, Elegant said, but he became close with Mother.
He became close with you, Mira said. I still can't believe Mother sent you away with him.
Elegant glanced shyly at Brogan. It was a desperate hour. Mother needed someone she could fully trust to protect me. I lobbied for Brogan, and she agreed. And that choice almost certainly saved my life. I can't count how many times he rescued us with his sword.
We had an adventure, or two, Brogan said with a smile.
You were young back then, Jace said, but you don't look as old as you should be.
It's why we came here, Elegant said. We lived on the run for years, affiliating with the Unseen. As 60 approached, Brogan was still the best fighter in the 5 Kingdoms, but we were starting to realize he wasn't immortal.
I never asked you to come here with me, Brogan said. I wanted you to find a new protector and leave me behind.
Elegance crossed to Brogan and touched his shoulder. I want all the time with you I can get. Being here has already prolonged your life at least 20 years. I'm hoping for 30 more. Brogan gave a gentle huff.
Optimistic.
We're dominating the conversation, Elegance said. How have you been, Miracle? You look well. I have my power back, Mira said.
In full?
Elegance asked.
In full. All the sisters do. Except you.
How? Elegance asked, looking surprised.
Have you felt your shaping returning? Mira asked. We've all experienced it to varying degrees.
No, Elegance said. Nothing. No difference.
Are you sure?
Mira asked. Elegance gave Mira a knowing glare.
Believe me, I would notice.
Mira recited how Owendell had conspired to take the shaping powers he had given their father and reshape them for his own purposes. She explained how his efforts had gone wrong in different ways with Karnag, the rogue knight, Roxy, and the mayor. She told how their father's health diminished as he lost his connection to their powers.
Whatever hardships befall that man are too little and too late, Elegance said. I can't express how long I've yearned to hear of his demise.
It could be soon, based on how he looked when I last saw him, Cole said.
You met our father? Elegance asked him.
We spoke not long ago, Cole said, not wanting to go into detail about becoming Stafford's emissary.
Has there been any strange trouble in Creon over the last year? Mira asked. Some way your power could have been manifesting?
Not that comes to mind, Elegance said, glancing at Brogan, who gave a vague shrug. We get briefed by the host. There are all the usual tensions between the nobles and the Wayminders, but no instances of rampaging shaping power.
Nothing, Rogan agreed. You could ask the host directly.
I still haven't shared the worst news, Mira said. Have you heard of the Torvors?
I know the stories, Elegant said.
Mira explained about Owendell and the Torvors in detail. She emphasized that Romaro was imprisoned somewhere in Creon, and that stopping him was the only way to save the world. Elegant smirked.
And Mother sent... children?
Mother could have sent anyone, Mira said, and she chose to send us. These children defeated Karnak in Sambria. We saved Elowir from Morgasa. We protected Zeropolis from Roxy, and we stood up to Romaro in Necronum. When the Torvor was making his escape into the physical world, Cole forced him into a new prison. You're not new to the Five Kingdoms. You know examples of young people with great shaping power. Don't be so touchy, Miracle, Elegant said. It's just peculiar.
We're it, Ella, Mira said. We're the last line of defense.
Elegance, Mira sighed. And we need your help.
What am I supposed to do?
Elegance asked. Help us find your shaping power, Mira said. Owendell wants to help Romaro. He already abandoned Junction. Sooner or later, Owendell will come to Creon. He and his shapecrafters might try to use your shaping power against us.
Miracle, I don't have any powers, Elegant said, and I'm not a specialist in combat. You want honor for that. I need to look after Brogan.
I'm in the safest stronghold in the Five Kingdoms, Brogan said, with servants watching over me. Don't let me hold you back. Ever.
Elegance knelt beside her husband.
You know I'm not a fighter.
Brogan looked at Mira.
Elegance is brave and good, and has faced unspeakable danger, and she is little use in a physical confrontation.
None of us are expert fighters, Mira said.
Speak for yourself, Jay said.
We're doing what needs to be done,
Mira continued, ignoring him.
Maybe we could wheel Brogan at them, Jay said. Can you still hold a jousting lance?
Brogan grinned.
I'd welcome the chance to try.
This is becoming absurd, Elegant said shortly. I am sympathetic to your mission. It sounds heroic and necessary. But I hear no evidence of how my involvement can benefit anyone.
What if your power is causing harm? Mira asked. What if only you can help us stop it?
Where is the evidence of my power harming anyone? Elegance asked. I hear no hint of my power currently being involved. I am a princess of the outskirts and heir to the throne. If we discover my power is wreaking havoc, I will do my duty. But right now, all you have is speculation.
What about other kinds of help? Mira asked. Connections?
I had contacts among the unseen here, Elegance said. Those relationships have faded over the years. We've lived in relative isolation for decades. My best connection now is the host. Perhaps he can offer guidance. He takes a real interest in the welfare of Creon and has serious access to Creon's elite.
Mira looked at Cole. Worth a try, Cole said. We need to find Grand Shapers, people who can help us figure out how the vault holding Romaro works and how we can make it stronger. People who can help us figure out how to face Romaro if he gets free.
I wish I could help, Brogan said. It's not fair that a man learns and grows and reaches his prime, only to enter a slow decline that eventually leaves him helpless as a baby.
You gave years of valiant service, my love, Elegant said. You saved my life innumerable times through your wisdom and your skill. Now is your time to rest. This hour comes to all who live long enough.
We can handle it, Jay said stoutly.
Thanks for wanting to help, Cole said.
Perhaps I should send you on your way, Elegant said. Your errand sounds urgent, and more talk will only cause frustration.
Surely they can stay for a meal, Brogan said.
We are in kind of a hurry, Cole said. What about the host? Mira asked. Remind me your name, Elegance asked Rennie.
Rennie, your highness,
she replied with a slight curtsy. Can you return them to the host? Elegance asked.
It should not be a problem, Rennie said.
Very well, Elegance said. Miracle, I'm relieved you are well. Thank you for news about Mother and our siblings. Her gaze swept the others in the group. Thank you for your roles in aiding my family and protecting the kingdom. I'm grateful for your service and your sacrifices.
Come with me, Rennie said.
Less than half an hour later, Cole sat at a table with Jace, Twitch, Violet, Mira, and the host. Rennie stood nearby. Once the food was laid out, the servants departed. Between the delicious meal before him and the shady courtyard where they dined, Cole was almost able to forget they were in an iron fortress in the middle of a vast desert, and that the world could end at any moment.
I trust your sister is pleased with her stay, the host said to Mira politely, as he gently removed a roasted chunk of squash from a skewer.
She seems really content, Mira said. Thanks for guarding her and Brogan so well. She wasn't as helpful as we'd hoped.
Oh,
the host asked, before inserting the squash into his mouth. We need information, Mira said. Connections. Leads to follow. Romaro must be stopped. There is so much we don't know.
The steak,
Jace murmured to Cole.
Huh?
Cole asked. Jace pointed at a skewer of seasoned beef with his fork.
Try some. So garlicky. Heaven.
It really is excellent steak, the host said. I need to limit my intake, but please indulge.
Cole jabbed his fork into a juicy hunk of meat and slid it off the skewer. It was almost too hot and surprisingly tender. Jace was right. It was divine.
What information do you most require? The host asked.
Mira nodded at Cole. In other kingdoms, we've had help from Grand Shapers, Cole said. In most cases, we wouldn't have survived long without it.
You would like an audience with the Grand Shaper of Creon?
The host asked. As many as we can find, Cole replied. The host narrowed his gaze.
Are you seeking confirmation of the rumor that there is more than one living Grand Shaper in Creon?
We know that much, Cole said. We just want to find as many as possible. We have to keep the vault closed. If we can't, we need a plan to recapture Romaro, or maybe even to fight him.
Very few know that some of the former Grand Shapers of Creon secretly dwell among us, the host said. Very few indeed. None know where to find them, including our present Grand Shaper.
We have a clue about where to find one, Cole said. The host's eyes flashed with interest.
I don't suppose you would be willing to share.
Depends what he says after we make contact, Cole said.
Who is he?
The host asked. We need to keep a few secrets for now, Cole said. Lots of people want to stop us. We can't risk info getting out about where we are going.
I am a secure confidant, the host assured him, but I admire the caution.
What else? Do you have any idea where the ancient vault might be that is holding Romaro? Cole asked. The host folded his arms and bowed his head in thought.
I do not. If it wasn't made known to the ruling class, a project so secretive and important would have been cleverly hidden long ago. I can have my people research the topic.
Would you? Mira asked.
Life as we know it in the outskirts is under attack, the host said. I'll do all in my power to aid you.
If you need help from any of the noble families of Creon, I can open doors. Finding grand shapers gets hazy. I don't have the information, and I have no idea who does.
We appreciate what help you have given, Mira said. We should get going.
After we eat some more, Jace said, around a mouthful of steak.
I understand, the host said. He stood.
Other matters require my attention. Rennie will show you out when you're ready.
He held out a rolled length of parchment to Mira.
This document contains written permission to access the retreat from the outer tent. Few have such general permission, including residents here. Feel free to visit me as needed. I will continue to investigate the matters we have discussed.
Mira accepted the document, and the host gave a stiff bow before exiting.
I can't believe we just received permanent access to the Iron Fort, Violet said reverently.
Neither can I,
Rennie added with a sniff.
After the meal, Rennie led them through a wayport back to the lonely tent in the desert. The air inside the tent remained refreshing. Two men Cole had not seen yet stood guard. Upon exiting the tent, the heat struck violently, radiating up from the sand and down from the sky. The bright sun was still an hour or two from sinking into the dunes.
We're going to cook if we stay here long, Cole said.
Where to next?
Twitch asked.
Are you speaking again?
Jace asked.
I almost forgot you were here.
Twitch blinked repeatedly and shrugged.
Maybe I don't want attention from powerful people.
Might not be bad thinking, Cole muttered.
First we should check in with Mother, Mira said. Then, I guess we go looking for Lorenzo de Bray.
All right, Violet said. Back to Harmony's tower in the first castle.
She held out her hand, and Cole took it, then pushed power into her. A wayport opened. Mira stepped through first. Violet came last. The old female servant who had greeted Cole several times stood staring at them with wide, worried eyes.
Greta, Mira said. What's wrong?
The woman looked around as if nervous.
You don't know, she whispered. They've all gone missing.
Who? Mira asked. Greta winced.
Keep your voice down, Your Highness. The soldiers are still investigating. Who is missing?
Mira whispered urgently.
Your mother, your father, your sisters, Greta said. All of them. You and your little band are all suspects.
Chapter 14. Implicated.
Why are we suspects?
Mira asked ardently, her voice rising above a whisper.
Keep it down, Your Highness,
Greta warned, looking around again.
They simply vanished, all of them, while under heavy guard, and you've been popping in and out lately with a wayminder.
Maybe they snuck off, Mira said.
All of them?
Greta asked incredulously.
The king and queen together. Not to mention that word has it your father is in no condition to travel.
He isn't, Cole confirmed. Mira looked stunned.
They're all gone?
Disappeared right under our noses, Greta said.
I was here when it happened. Never heard a peep. Her Majesty seemed to disappear just like the others. The captain of the guard has kept it quiet while he investigates.
It wasn't me,
Violet said.
But it must have been wayminders.
You told me wayminders wouldn't enter a private place, Cole said.
And enforcers don't burn down shrines,
Violet replied. Owendell expects the world to end. He's breaking all the rules.
Could be,
Mira said.
Owendell?
Greta asked. A door to the parlor opened, and a soldier froze, staring at them.
Time to go,
Greta whispered urgently. Jace held out his rope to Cole, who touched it, and flooded it with energy. The rope lashed out and thrust the soldier back as he began to raise the alarm. Cole grabbed Violet, and she opened a wayport. Twitch ducked through. Jay slammed the parlor door with the rope. Then he used the rope to slide a fancy sofa in front of it.
To the parlor!
The soldier was calling from beyond the door.
They're here! Greta was in on it!
Come, Greta,
Mira said, guiding the old woman into the wayport. The door burst open, toppling the sofa. Multiple soldiers lunged forward and were slammed back as Jace hurled an armchair into the doorway. Maintaining his connection to the rope and Violet, Cole hurried through the portal. Jace followed, then Violet. Soldiers were shouting. The wayport closed. Cole and his friends stood on the slope outside of Skyport. A light breeze ruffled the brush. Castles drifted in the distance.
You're quick with that rope, Violet said.
I liked bashing them with the chair, Jace said. I need to remember to pick up stuff and use it like a club more.
Skyport? Cole asked.
First place that came to mind, Violet said. I really don't miss this place, Mira said, gazing out at the castles.
That was close, Twitch said. What now?
Mira approached Greta.
Are you all right?
The woman looked shaken.
Well enough, I suppose, for suddenly being a fugitive after decades of loyal service.
Try being her daughter, Mira said bitterly.
You children really weren't involved in the disappearances, Greta asked.
Not at all, Mira said. It had to be Owendell. Greta nodded.
Stafford made his move against him. Owendell would waste little time retaliating if he could.
No king, Mira said. No queen. No heirs.
Who will run the kingdom?
Violet asked.
Owendell would have had the best chance before the High King discredited him, Greta said. I suppose the nobles will fight it out once the news goes abroad.
Mira picked up a rock and flung it down the slope.
I shouldn't have left them. We had Violet. We could have stolen Nori and Tessa. We could have brought Mother to safety. I didn't take them, Greta, but I should have.
We couldn't see this coming, Cole said. Mira made fists and closed her eyes.
Seems pretty clear now. We had them, Cole. They were safe. We had them. Now they're who knows where, and Owendell is playing this like he has nothing to lose.
We'll save them, Jay said.
We better, Mira said.
We will,
Jace assured her. They're too valuable for Owendell to harm them.
I hope you're right, Mira said. We don't really know what Owendell is capable of with his master returning.
She turned to Greta.
Where would you like to go?
Me?
Greta asked.
We can take you anywhere, Mira said.
Where would you be most safe and comfortable?
My sister has a farm outside of Junction City near the border of Elowir,
Greta said.
Nearest town?
Violet asked.
Just a little hamlet,
Willet.
I know it,
Violet said. South of Myers Mill. Does the farm have any distinguishing features?
Big farm, Greta said.
Just east of Willet, two barns. An orchard with concentric rings of trees. That's not usual, at least in those parts. Violet closed her eyes. Still connected to her power, Cole fed her some extra energy.
I think I have it,
Violet said, opening her eyes.
Should she go now?
The less she hears, the better, Twitch said. For her and for us. A shimmering wayport appeared. Wringing her hands, Greta turned to Mira.
You'll come get me if you find your mother.
Of course, Mira said. And I'll come make sure Violet has the right farm. Greta stepped through the wayport. Mira followed.
I wonder what kind of fruit the orchard has, Jace mused.
Didn't we just eat? Cole asked.
I feel full. Not fruit, Jace said. Apples sound good.
Twitch approached the wayport.
I can't see through it, or hear them.
That's right, Violet said. Many wayports are soundproof.
But I can feel connections through them, Cole said.
if I have them established, even if I can't see or hear the other side.
I can't explain that, Violet said. Must work differently than sight and sound.
Mira came back through, and the wayport vanished.
Good job, Mira said. It was her sister's place.
Violet gave a pleased smile.
Remember when the four of us escaped this nightmare in a flying lifeboat? Twitch asked, gazing down at Skyport.
Probably the best day of my life, Jay said.
It was a scary day, Cole observed.
We almost died.
Almost can be a very important word, Jay said.
Do any of you remember if we saw Elegance? Mira asked.
Cole turned to her.
What did he remember?
I think so.
There was an old guy in a wheelchair?
Yes, Twitch said. And I remember Elegance.
Me too,
Jay said.
But I don't remember what we decided.
The mind screen, Cole muttered.
I couldn't tell if I was remembering her or imagining it, Mira said.
Now that you mention it, I remember the old guy too. He had been her protector, I think.
Now he is her husband, Violet said. I recall that much.
The old guy? Cole asked.
They must have gotten married when they were younger, Mira said. I wonder if Mother knows.
Wasn't there another guy, Twitch asked, who ran the Iron Fort?
He liked us, Cole said. I don't remember much else.
I have this, Mira said, holding up a rolled parchment.
Won't do you any good,
Violet said as Mira unrolled it.
She's right, Mira said. Gibberish.
Think it might be a clue?
Cole asked. Info about Romaro or the Grand Shapers?
We'll be able to read it in Creon, Violet said. And we'll remember what we forgot.
I don't even know if Elegance is joining us, Mira said.
Wouldn't she already be with us?
Twitch asked.
Probably true, Cole said.
Imagine your whole life being like this, Violet said. Remembering people, especially those closest to you, but without so many specifics.
I wouldn't mind forgetting a lot of my life, Jay said.
It might feel that way sometimes, Violet said. I promise you, it isn't very fun.
Shouldn't we go to Creon so we can remember? Twitch asked.
There is one stop I want to make first, Cole said, while I still speak for the king, before news spreads that he's gone.
Where?
Mira asked. The slave trader Ansel is at Five Roads, Cole said. I can use my authority to find out where all the kids from my neighborhood ended up.
That could take some time, Cole, Jay said. And the slaver might not cooperate.
He for sure won't cooperate if people think I kidnapped the king, Cole said. This could be my best chance.
Your best chance is stopping the end of the world, Jay said. If you find out where your friends are and the world ends, what was the point? If we stop Romaro, you'll have all kinds of help finding those kids.
Chase is right, Mira said. You have lots of people on your side, Cole. We'll find your friends together.
Cole wanted to argue. What if they stopped Romaro, but the Order of the Kingdoms unraveled? What if the Pemberton family lost the power to help him? What if Ansel moved on and they never found him again? But Jace's position was too solid. What was the point of finding the kids from his neighborhood if Romaro conquered the outskirts? Locating Ansel and getting the information was risky and could cost precious time.
I get it, Cole said. Romaro first. Where should we go?
We'll plan better in Creon, Twitch said, with our recent memories.
I know a place, Violet said.
She reached out a hand and Cole took it. A wayport shimmered into existence.
Some place safe? Twitch asked.
Safe as I know, Violet said.
Cole stepped through, maintaining his connection to Violet, until she came through last of all and the wayport closed. They stood in a grove of trees near a huge lawn. A stately complex of buildings stood in the distance. Memories awakened in Cole's mind.
"We went into the iron fort in the desert," Jay said.
"It was comfortable inside," Twitch said, "except for the strict guards."
"Elegance isn't joining us," Mira said. "At least not for now."
"Should we go tell the host about the king and queen?" Cole asked.
"We'll tell him when it makes sense to go back there," Jay said. "We're not his errand boys."
"Or girls,"
Violet added.
"Where are we?"
Cole wondered.
"That was my first wayminding school," Violet said. "I grew up in a quiet region of Creon called Twin Lakes. We should be safe here for a moment."
Mirror held up the rolled parchment.
"I can read this now."
"It's permission to go back to the Iron Fort," Jay said.
"I know," Mira said. "But so weird that it's now perfectly legible. It looked like nonsense hardly a minute ago."
"Should we chase down Lorenzo?"
Jay said.
"Where was he again?"
"North of the Forgotten Cache at Shepherd's Grove," Violet said. "I hope those directions are more specific than they sound. How far north? 100 paces? 1 mile north? 10 miles? 50? How directly north? Straight north?"
"Hopefully Lorenzo is close to the cache, or Daedalus would have used a better landmark," Cole said.
"We should start at the cache and work northward," Mira suggested.
"What's the Forgotten Cache?"
Twitch asked.
"Certain wayminders used to transport merchandise, often from Earth," Violet said. "Taking shortcuts across wide spaces can be useful in shipping. The items were stored in caches. A lot of the big caches closed down and were abandoned."
"Did you just say there might be stuff to loot?"
Jace asked.
"Old stuff people left behind," Violet said. "The caches are technically off-limits."
"I worked for a salvage operation," Jace said. "Abandoned cargo is fair game."
Violet shrugged.
"In school, we were told not to visit them. I'll take us to the north side of the cache near Shepherd's Grove. Cole, I'll need a boost so I can see where we want to go."
Cole took her hand and energized her power. Violet gave a small gasp.
"With your help, I can see so clearly from here. Not clearly inside the cache, it's shielded, but the borders of the cache are easy to make out. It's big. There is an empty field toward the center of the north side."
A wayport appeared. Jay stepped through the glimmering portal. The others followed. Violet came through last. Cole first noticed that it was cooler, almost cold enough to wish for a jacket when the frosty breeze slithered over him. Long grass and wildflowers extended before him, sloping up into a series of low hills fringed with evergreens. Turning, Cole found a tall metal fence topped with spikes. Through the fence, he could see a stagecoach, a slot machine, a few department store mannequins in outdated fashions, and an old biplane that made him think of World War I.
"That stuff is from my world," Cole said.
"I wouldn't know," Violet replied.
"Does that fly?"
Jace asked, pointing at the plane.
"If you know how," Cole said, "and if it has fuel and room to take off."
"Makes me think of Zeropolis," Jay said. "Cool tech. Does your world have good weapons?"
"Actually, yeah, we're pretty good at weapons."
"We have to go in there," Jay said. "Violet, how about a way to the other side of the fence? Just a tiny hop."
"These caches are off limits," Violet reminded him.
"We're in Creon. Are you trying to get me penalized?"
"If Owendell is playing this like the world is about to end, why can't we?"
Jace asked.
"In case it doesn't," Violet said. "And in case we get detained before we try to stop Romaro."
"How tall is that fence?"
Jace asked, looking up.
"About 20 feet,
Twitch said.
"Maybe there's a gate," Cole suggested.
Violet shook her head.
"We're in Creon.
The caches were built to be secure. No gates. Anybody with permission to be inside would use a wayport. And items would be moved in and out the same way, Mira said. Jace held his golden strand out to Cole.
A little help?
Is it smart to go in there? Cole asked. Daedalus told us Lorenzo de Bray was north of here.
This was the only place named, Jace said. We should check it out. There may be clues.
Or awesome weapons from another world,
Twitch said, knowingly. Is that so bad?
Jace asked.
We're being hunted by Owendell. We're trying to stop a powerful Torivore. Nobody wants better weapons?
Might be worth a look, Mira said. Cole touched the golden strand and energized it. I need some help, Twitch said. The ring that lets me take my true form outside of Elawir only works in Sambria. Cole placed a hand on Twitch's shoulder. Twitch's shaping power felt dim, suppressed. Cole brightened it, and suddenly Twitch had grasshopper legs and antennae.
You're good, Twitch said.
Can you power all of us at the same time? Mira asked, holding out her jumping sword. Cole touched the flat of the blade and awoke the power inside. He drew his sword and energized it.
No problem. It'll be a big jump over the fence. Don't forget to jump again when you land.
Mira grinned. Don't forget who introduced you to jumping swords.
How does my rope work again? Jace asked with a smirk. Twitch, do you remember how to hop?
I can stand guard here, Violet offered.
Oh, no, Jace said. If you're too nervous to open a way in, I'll bring you.
He turned his back to her. Climb on.
Away,
Mira said, pointing her sword and leaping well over the fence.
Away,
she said again when she landed, taking a smaller jump forward before coming to a stop. Twitch sprang as well, wings fluttering, and easily cleared the fence. Cole called out the command and enjoyed the rush of soaring up over the fence, including the brief weightlessness at the apex of his flight. With the added elevation, he glimpsed random objects from his world, continuing into the distance. A school bus? A long, glittery Chinese dragon? A McDonald's? Cole landed with a second little jump to dampen the impact. Jace landed beside him, the coils of his rope slowing his descent. Violet climbed down from his back.
Now we're trespassers, Violet said. We're not exactly burning down shrines or kidnapping royalty, Jace said.
I guess if our enemies play dirty, we may need to cross boundaries sometimes, Violet said.
You trespassed with us into a sky castle, Jace reminded her.
Yeah, but I'm from here, Violet said. I know the rules here.
How long can you keep me in my true form? Twitch asked.
As long as I keep sending power to you, Cole said.
Would it be easier to just charge up my ring?
I'd have to maintain that connection too, Cole said.
And you can hold the connection without touching me, Twitch said.
Does that mean you could form the connection without touching me?
Maybe, Cole said.
Cole released his connection to Twitch, who reverted to a human appearance. Reaching out with all of his focus, Cole could sense the shaping power within his friend. It was familiar. But could he touch that power without physically touching Twitch? Could he establish a connection from a distance? Cole became aware of the others watching him. He closed his eyes and focused more intently on Twitch's power. He could almost feel it. But no matter how hard he pushed, he fell short of connecting to it.
Not right now, Cole said. Maybe if I practice. My rope went limp, Jay said.
Cole realized that he had broken his connections with Violet and everything else to concentrate on Twitch.
I was giving it my all.
It would be great if you could learn to do it, Mira said. Cole nodded. A lot smoother in a fight if I don't have to touch everything to power it up.
It's already unreal, Twitch said. Nobody else can do what you do.
I bet Romaro can, Cole said.
and so much more. Let's find an incredible weapon from Cole's world, Jay said. Something undefeatable, he pointed.
Maybe that.
That's a tuba, Cole said. It's a musical instrument.
I get it,
Jay said. Like a big horn. Who blows that thing? How big are their lungs?
Pretty hefty, I guess, Cole said.
Who is that guy?
Twitch asked, indicating a large reddish statue.
I think that's Buddha, Cole said. There are people on my planet who worship him.
They set off through a jungle of random items. Cole noticed an old-fashioned gas pump, a stone birdbath, a bronze statue of a baseball player, a rickshaw, a simple wooden canoe, a tin washtub, and an Egyptian sarcophagus. He showed the others how to wear the Chinese dragon and tried the door of the McDonald's, finding it locked. Putting his face to the glass, he could see tables and the counter and the menu. There was nobody inside and no sign of electricity, but otherwise it appeared an entire McDonald's had been transported to Creon intact. This is a restaurant in my world, Cole explained. Not a fancy one. It's for when you're in a hurry. They serve hamburgers.
Dalton showed me a hamburger once, Jay said. An illusion.
They're good, Cole said. McDonald's isn't the ultimate, but they're popular for a reason.
What's it doing here?
Want to break in? Mira asked. Cole shook his head. It must have been here a while. No way is any food inside still good.
Let's keep moving, Twitch suggested.
They passed more Earth paraphernalia, large and small, ancient and modern. Cole noticed that nothing looked quite from his time period. The newest stuff seemed to be from at least 30 years ago, maybe more.
What's that?
Mira asked. Cole looked ahead to a full carousel with horses and other animals on poles.
It's a carousel. A ride.
Does it turn around?
Twitch asked. If it had power, Cole said, probably not here.
You can power it, Jay suggested.
I don't think so, Cole said. It runs on a different kind of power called electricity. They went to the carousel and climbed on. Cole stared at a white horse, head thrown back, motionless mane molded as if blowing in the wind. Fake jewels decorated the fanciful saddle and bridle.
Your world is strange, Jay said,
standing beside a big frog with a brass pole through it.
Kind of strange, I guess, Cole admitted, but also pretty fun.
What do you kids think you're doing?
Called a shrill voice. Cole whirled to find a bony older woman coming toward them. She had frizzy gray hair and walked with a bouncy sway, almost like she was running in place. Cole glanced at the others in surprise and worry.
Told you, Violet muttered.
Chapter 15. Cash.
Your ride doesn't work,
Jay said, yanking on the pole through the frog. The woman stared at him huffily, hands on her hips.
Shows what you know. Works just fine.
It's supposed to spin around, Cole said. Her gaze shifted to Cole.
I know what it does, young man. The question is, why have you hooligans entered uninvited? And with a wayminder among you, let me guess, the robes are stolen.
It was her idea, Jay said. She dared us.
Violet flushed and opened her mouth, but no words came out.
We don't mean any harm, Mira said.
Has all order been overthrown?
The old woman asked.
Are laws only meant for people who mean harm now? How exactly is that measured?
Turn it on, Jay said.
Excuse me?
The woman asked.
You claim it works, Jay said. Prove it. Turn it on.
Stop trying to tangle me, young man, the woman said. How did you kids get here? There are no settlements nearby. Are you actually a wayminder?
Violet turned a shade redder. Cole could tell she wanted to disappear.
Is she mute?
the woman asked.
I know somebody opened a wayport north of the fence. I've seen a few winters, but not all of my senses have fled yet.
She's shy, Cole said. We pushed her